You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. We are so thankful and grateful for sharing in the wonderful blessing of a conversation with Dawn Karima. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are grateful to God for this show, for all of you, for this great network, and for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. To help us celebrate this resurrection season, we have one of our very, very favorite ministers with us today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, Dawn. Thank you for the opportunity, first of all, honey, to come on your program and share the goodness of God's Word. My name is Izetta Tarina. I've been ministering the Word of God almost all my life.
Oh, how beautiful, how wonderful. Thank you for joining us. We bless you and we praise God for you. And we want to have church.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hand it all over to you, and I'm going to let you share what the Lord has laid on your heart and celebrate resurrection.
Thank you so much, honey. Celebrating resurrection. I wonder, beloved of God, if we really know what that means and have digested it into our minds and into our hearts. We celebrate this holiday, and it brings us to a place of thanksgiving. It brings us to a place of glorifying and thanking God, not only for his resurrection, but for the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. Now, Jesus, he has never visited Jerusalem before now. And the Word of God tells us that he comes riding into Jerusalem, and they welcome him. The people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the church welcomes him by praising God and saying, Hosanna, and calling him the King of the Jews, and they welcome him into what they call their holy city. Jerusalem is the place of peace. That's what it is defined as. And the very first thing that our Lord does is he goes into the temple. Now understand that the temple is the church. And he goes into this temple, and he doesn't introduce himself. He goes in there, and he begins to overturn all that's wrong in the temple. And that's kind of like what he does in us. When he makes us aware, when we become convicted in our heart of the way that we have been living, the Lord comes into us, and he begins to cleanse out, and he begins to overturn everything that we have been taught. That's what he did in me, and it causes an earthquake to come in you. He rides into Jerusalem. It's his first time there, and he doesn't make a good impression to the scribes and the Pharisees. They look at him and go, "What manner of man is this?" But in 1 week in the holy city, he accomplishes more than any other man has ever done in the history of all creation. The people there, they're scratching their head and they're wondering. While he's there in the temple, he begins to preach and to teach in a higher order than any have heard any time before, even through the law of Moses and through all the prophets. He begins to bring an order, and that order is his kingdom. And he begins to set it. He begins to speak in parables. He begins to tell them about the virgins. He begins to tell them about this is how the kingdom of God works. And they, of the order of religion, you see, a Pharisee is one that is strictly religious. And the Sadducee, they don't believe in any resurrection. The scribes are those that are those that write down what is being said. And so, in this week, he begins to teach and he begins to lay the order and the instruction for us to follow as his children. And we're all his children. It doesn't make any difference what part of the world you were born in. You're still a child of God because God created all of us. And he put us here to shine his light and be a testament, a testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord. So in laying the order of the scripture, he is delivered. He is delivered. First of all, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the place of the oil press. The word oil means God's anointed, God's anointing. But he goes there under great, great pressure. He tells his disciples, "You wait here while I go there and pray." And he goes and prays, and he says, "Lord," and he begins to agonize because he knows why he has come to the holy city, to deliver the word of God and to go to the cross and to go to the tomb, to experience death when he has no sin in him. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He begins to pray, and he asks the Father. He said, "Lord," he said, "Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, God, thy will be done." And he goes back and his disciples are sleeping. It's kind of like when we go to church and we begin to preach and teach God's word and we look up and we see people snoring. You know, they get slowful and he awakens them. He goes to the Last Supper and he says, "There is one here that is my own that will deny me and that will hand me over." And of course he was speaking of Judas Iscariot. "You will both betray me." He goes through the order of the garden. He goes through the order of the Last Supper. He goes to the garden, and the garden is where he is arrested. And he is arrested by the people that call themselves the priest, those that call themselves religious, those that call themselves that they believe in God. And the high priest and the elders, they come and they take counsel against Jesus. And this is in Matthew chapter 27. And these are the people that bring him before Pilate. And these are the people that choose Barabbas. They choose a man that his name means agony, prompt, pride. He is full of proud, swelling words, and they choose him over our Lord. And then they say, crucify him. Crucify him. When they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And Judas, which had betrayed him, and I'm reading and I'm sharing out of Matthew chapter 27. When Judas, that had betrayed him, saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. And he brought the 30 pieces of silver that they had given him to bring contempt and betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings these 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And so they take him, they take our Lord, and they place him in a place where they mock him, where they strip him of his garment. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They strip him of his dignity. They urinate upon him. They spit upon him. They do everything they can to torment him. And he stands there and takes it all. Why would a man do that? Why would a man without sin stand and be so condemned and so humiliated? For if one did that today, we wouldn't take it because we don't have the kind of stamina that comes from the Father in many, many cases. And we go into a place of depression instead of standing there knowing that God is always in control. So our Lord goes, and they take him and they condemn him and they give him over to a religious system that really doesn't know about God. They didn't hear the prophets prophesy that Emmanuel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was coming all through the Old Testament. And they hang all of their laws on being seen, but not living the fact. A lot of people do that today, but that isn't the way of the Lord. That isn't the way of God. So in this Easter, we call it Easter season. I like to refer to it as the season of resurrection. They take our Lord and they condemn him. And he goes by the way of the cross. He goes by the way of man's way to fulfill God's way. He goes in this agony, in this suffering. And no man knows the suffering that Jesus went through except the Father himself, because we can describe it, we can testify to it, we can give what we see, what we think it was, but what it was making a way for every person, every man, every woman, every child, of making a way of restoration for man being born into a sinful world and paving a way back into the Almighty God, back into the Father's house. So the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. That means that garment, that coat that our Lord wore without seam. It did have no beginning and no end. He says in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. So the very garment that our Lord wore was without any kind of sin. He was clothed in the righteousness of the Father. And they take the Lord and they put him on a cross. The word cross means to expose to death. It is in that time, it is the capital punishment, the instrument that brings capital punishment. They're going to punish him and expose this man of God, this Son of God, this Savior, this Messiah, this King, this High Priest. Going to expose him, and God's going to let him taste of the bitterness of death. Think about it, the bitterness of death. One that has never committed any kind of wrong. One that has never committed any kind of sin. And he is going to be exposed and have to taste of death. And you may ask, why would he do that? Because of his love for you and for me. I want you to digest that for a minute, my beloved friend. His love for you. When you're in agony and life hands you things that you think are impossible for you to overcome, I want you to think about the Savior of your soul. I want you to think about the cross where he is, where our Lord is exposed to death. I want you to think about the nails that they put in his hands and how that they nailed him to this thing that was a capital punishment that he was not guilty of. I want you to think about the suffering. I want you to think about when he looked upon his mother and he said to his mother, behold thy son. And I want you to think about motherhood and how you and I would feel. How would I feel if I had to give my son for the sacrifice of all creation, and my son wasn't even guilty? How Mary felt when she stood there and she looked up on that cross and she looked up on Golgotha's hill at Calvary that day and she beheld her son hanging in agony. And she knew that he was pure. She knew that he was righteous. She knew that he was the Son of God. And she had to give him. She had no other choice. But think about a mother's heart and the way that she had to feel at that very hour. He's hanging on the cross. He's suffering. I'm sure that he loses consciousness and he comes back. He loses consciousness and he comes back. And finally, at the appointed hour, he says, Father, it is finished. And he gives up the ghost. He dies. But in his death, he's still busy because he goes into the bowels of all of those that have come before him. He goes into the bowels of the captivity of all of those that have been captured and captive by the sin of the world. And he looses their chains and he sets them free. This is before he ever is come out of the tomb. And by the way, the tomb that they lay him in is a new tomb. No man has ever laid there before because no man ever could. No man was ever predestined to do what the Son, the only begotten Son of God, did on that day when he laid his life down. He gave himself. No man took his life. He gave it, and he gave it freely so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. But it would mean nothing. His death would have meant nothing without his resurrection authority. And his resurrection gives us today as much direction as it did when it happened. And it is in this that we are to follow his instruction, his direction. We all need direction in our life. And I probably need more direction than most. But I believe that we all need direction. We all need instruction. I'll give you an example. When you need information or you need to call somebody, you either have to Google it because they have the direction, or you have to look in the old-timey phone book, which is almost outdated in this day. But you look for it in the place that you know you can get your answer. Am I right? Amen. Moses said,
Amen.
He says to God, when God told Moses to go to Egypt before Pharaoh, and Moses had a stuttering problem, Moses said, I don't understand. When I get before this, the king of Egypt, who am I supposed to tell them, Father, that sent me? And he said, Moses, when you get before Pharaoh, just say, I am sent me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, we put that in the literal context, don't we, sis? We put that in the literal context.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we say, okay, I have to die before I can be resurrected. Mm. Well, yes, in the sense of what the Lord is saying, but he, remember, all scripture has to be spiritually understood.
Mm.
Not by the literal mind, but by the spiritual being in us. And when he says that, although you be dead, yet shall you live. You're dead until you live or until you come to the redeeming qualities that Jesus gives and that Jesus paid for on the cross at Golgotha's hill. Why was it Golgotha's hill? It's the place of the skull. What does the skull house if it is not man's mind? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus, also in Christ Jesus. So when I was birthed into this world, I was dead because of the sin nature. But when I come to know Christ as Savior, then I become alive, and I'm alive forevermore, whether I'm in the body or out of the body. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to be alive in God. So his resurrection, when Moses said, God tells him, you know, he's looking for direction. The people at the Lord's resurrection, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the place where they had laid the Lord, the sepulcher, the tomb. And seeing the stone, which they had rolled over his tomb to keep him in, was taken away from the sepulcher, I'm sure she looked at that and said, how is that possible? Then she runs, and she looks in, and what she sees is some angels saying, he isn't here, he's risen. And I'm sure she scratches her head and she says, what does that mean? Wouldn't you? She runs and tells Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, saying to them, they've taken him away. The Lord is gone out of the sepulcher, and we don't know where they've laid him. Peter went therefore, and John, and they came to the tomb. They ran, both of them together, and John, the disciple, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, or the tomb. He stooped down and he looked in and he saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. He didn't go in. He just saw that the linen cloth was there. Then Peter comes following him, and he went into the sepulcher, and he sees the linen cloth lie there, and the napkin that was about the Lord's head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place of its own or by itself. They went in also. The other disciple, John, he got up enough nerve. He loved the Lord, but he wasn't going in there by himself. Came in, and he saw what was there. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now they'd been with the Lord. They'd heard him preach. They'd heard him lay out the word of God. They'd heard him say that I and my Father, we are one. But they didn't receive it in their mind. They didn't understand it in their mind. And they went away to their own home. But Mary, she stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, and she looked in, and that's when she sees the angels in white. And they say to her, she asked them, where's the body of my Lord? And they say to her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith to them, because they've taken him away. They've taken him away, and I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had thus said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. And she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto Mary, woman, why weepest thou for me? Whom seekest thou? Or whom do you look for? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, wherever you've taken him, in other words, tell me where you've put him, where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus looked at her and said, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Master. As soon as he said her name, she realized that it was her Master, her Lord, her Redeemer. And Jesus said to her, don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene, understand that she was a harlot until the Lord touched her. She was someone that they wanted to stone until the Lord touched her and changed her as no other one could. And here we see his resurrection, his standing up again, his moral recovery, his spiritual truth, his raising to life again, raising up from the dead, which no man ever did before and no man has ever done since, to lay his life down, to go to the cross, to go to the public place of capital punishment for all creation, die the death upon the cross, cry out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And then say, it is finished. Give up the ghost. Go into a sepulcher where no man has ever laid, no man could ever lay. And then take up his own life again and be resurrected into the standing up again into the fullness of God's authority. Why would anyone do that? Because of love. We must ask ourselves, and I'm almost finished, Dawn. I'm never going to be finished, but there comes a time when you put a period on the end of it. We must ask ourselves, what is the authority that rules and that reigns in our life? And we have to be completely honest with ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and take inventory. Do we have a negative thought or negative thoughts sitting in the mind, upon the throne of our own mind, into the organized form of the way that we are taught from birth? Praise God, are we there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we offer the ministry, or do we often have ministry of confusion sitting in the high places of our mind rather than the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Do we ask ourselves, can I make it through today? Or do we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me?
Praise God.
All of the carnal, the man-made systems, the organizations, the forms, the programs, the governments that rob God's people, rob God's creation, mankind, from coming to the fullness of Christ. You see, the fullness of Christ, when he was resurrected, that what we call Easter Sunday, when he was resurrected, he said, it's finished. He completed what the Father sent him here to do. We must ask God to cleanse every thought of the carnal thinking out of us so we can move into the place of becoming adults, not little children anymore. Because
mm-hmm.
little children seek for the Father's guidance. But when you become adult, you put away foolish and childish things, and then you begin to walk in the totality of his resurrection authority. In the totality, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It simply means seek Jesus. It's a simple thing. And when he comes into our life, he brings the fullness of his kingdom. And where does he put it? In his temple. We are his temple. We are his body. He is the kingdom, and he brings and he puts his death and his resurrection authority, his resurrection power, the fullness of the Father's house in a complete work. That's what Easter is about, the complete work of God. And when we pray, we're talking directly to God. When we pray for joy, God gives us, he gives us the opportunity to rejoice in him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Until joy, we can't let joy be displaced with negative circumstances. Is that right?
That's right. Amen.
And
Amen.
When you pray for peace, do we believe that when we pray for peace, that God makes a way for us to come to that completeness of peace? Do we rest in him regardless of what we're facing? My beloved friends, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life of every person that has ever drawn breath. No matter where you come from, no matter what your skin color is, no matter if you're male or female, we are all one in the sight of God, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this Easter Sunday, take joy in having the ability to have the greatest weapon he left us, which is the power of prayer and supplication. Take joy in knowing that you are resurrected with him. You don't have to wait for it. It's yours right now. You're mm-hmm. resurrected in him now. Not mm-hmm. when they put your body in a grave. Not when you get sick and you can't speak no more. Not in suffering and in trial. But you're resurrected with him in victory today. Mm-hmm. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Right now. God is not interested in just supplying us with what we think we need. He is completely, his intent is growing us up into a powerful, thriving people that see him as he really is. Do you know the Father? You can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is who we are. And without mm-hmm. the word of righteousness, we fall into torment in our mind. Mm-hmm. The thoughts that we think can bring us to torment before we ever get to a hard situation. We've already brought ourselves there because we're torturing our own self. But the word brings peace. Mm-hmm. It brings joy. It brings hope. We, beloved of God, we the people of this world, there is only one God and one Father of us all. There is only one Redeemer and one Messiah of us all. And people put Christianity in a box, you know, their little box of what Christ is. Break out of that box and say, teach me of the higher things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me. Teach me, mm-hmm. God. School me. School me in your death. School me in your resurrection. School me in your teachings that I may have a greater knowledge of you. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. We are highly mm-hmm. blessed, and it is possible right now to walk in his victory. Mm-hmm. And with that, I will hand it back to my beautiful sister in Jesus, thanking you so much for the opportunity to share God's word with you. Any questions?
Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go to commercial break, but when we come back, this tremendous woman of God is going to be with us to, again, share what's on her heart, help us pray. Oh, this is wonderful. We'll be back right after these messages.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety. But with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Savor, let it be big, get on and easy, pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back, once a war forget.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Our guest today is amazing. And whew, I'm the amen corner today. I'm just sitting over there praising God and being blessed by the word of God that we've heard today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Lizetta Tarina. I'm a minister, a messenger in the kingdom of God.
That's beautiful. Well, this time is yours. If you'd like to share with us something else that's on your heart, if you'd like to take some time and have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, that would be great, too. Otherwise, I have some spiritual questions that some of our listeners have and would love some guidance about. So
okay.
It's totally up to you.
Let me just quote something.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 11:28-30 says this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Understand what a yoke is. A yoke is something that binds you up.
Right.
"And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy." And I find this very interesting, Dawn. He says, "My burden is light." And it's not like like a feather. It's L-I-G-H-T. And, you know, where there is light, there is no darkness. And when I read that, I went, "Oh, yeah, God." I read that so many times. But the word light just slapped me right in the face and said, "Okay, listen again. Read it again." My burden, there's any burden that we have, any trial that we go through, and the world's full of them. And right now, creation is crying out. People are suffering. They're suffering in all manner of ways. Look at the way the war over in the Middle East is going. Look at the heartache and the trial and the suffering of humanity. Can you hear it crying for help?
Yes.
And that's what the Lord, he says, you can be a child of God, says that in Romans 8:16. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, the psalmist David that wrote that. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We give the enemy too much power over our everyday thoughts. I will take questions and be glad to answer them if I have the ability to do it.
Oh, this is wonderful. And I'm so thankful for you, because this is revelation knowledge in a time where we absolutely need it. I have a question from one of our friends that listens, and this is one of our friends actually from Israel.
Okay.
How can we bring peace to the world through our prayers?
Well, it is self-explanatory.
Okay.
How can we bring peace through our prayers? We don't say prayers, first of all. There's a difference between saying a prayer or looking at it on a sheet of paper and you know, say it, speaking it out loud, what's pray. A lot of people pray from a form. But we approach God, and we don't say a prayer. We pray a prayer. Praying a prayer means we speak out of the innermost being of concern for a loved one or for a family member of any sort or for creation. You see, we have a tendency when we pray to pray for our own needs. God knows what you need before you ask. He wants you to ask. And he wants you to come humbly before him. And I've always said this, and I know this to be a truth in the 50-some years that I have been called to present as a messenger of the Lord. All glory goes to him, not to me.
Hallelujah.
When we begin to intercede, and see, intercession means that you stand in the gap as a wedge between those that are making war and those that are desiring peace. And when you pray, don't just say it, pray it. Mean it from your heart. Humble yourself before the Lord. Amen. Come before him as one of his little children and say, I don't know how to fix this, Father, but I know you do because you're God. Be honest with him. And how do we get peace? In the world, there isn't going to be any peace.
Okay.
But we can be a peacemaker. We can be one that shines God's light through our prayers. When you pray, pray, God, use me. And help me never to abuse your word. And if I don't know the right thing to say, help me to know when to button my lip and keep my big mouth shut. When we pray for peace, we want the peace of God. And we, as a joint unit, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're whatever you are, did you know that there's 42,000, over 42,000 different denominations in the Christian faith?
No, I did not know that. Wow.
I read that, and I read it from Wikipedia.
Wow.
And when I read that, the Lord said, okay, take your pencil and write. There is great division. We built up walls of denominational things, just like the Sadducees and Pharisees did.
Right.
And when you build up a wall, you're placing yourself inside of a box. And there should be no division between people that love the Lord.
Amen.
Because there's no division in love. And when you go to God in love and you ask for peace, ask it, say, Lord, first bring peace in me that I may distribute peace to my neighbor.
That's beyond beautiful. Beautiful.
On the when they asked him about the Ten Commandments and they was trying to trip the Lord up, they said, okay, tell us about those commandments. He said, okay, there's only two you have to remember in the order of grace, and that's to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, heart, and spirit, right? And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. I was thinking about that, and I thought, love my neighbor as myself. Well, I don't really love me. And the Lord said, oh, yeah, you do. You wash yourself. You dress yourself. You get prettied up. You put your makeup on. Men put their deodorant on. Women put their, you don't want to be offensive. You take really good care of yourself. Take care of your neighbor the same way. Love your neighbor the way you love you. Then you'll see peace come. And when you pray, pray, Lord, I don't love my neighbor the way I love me. Be honest with God because he already knows.
Right.
If we really want to see peace come, we've got to lift up our voice after we've prayed, folks. So I'm speaking to the one that has asked this question. When you pray, go to God in a contrite and humble spirit and then believe you got what you asked for.
Oh, praise God.
And when you do that, you'll begin to distribute it, and you'll begin. Your voice is like a radio wave. When you speak, and you curse somebody, that vibration goes out into creation. And it hits people, and they become distraught. But when you speak what you've prayed, peace. Be still, devil. Peace in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. That is amazing. We have another question from a friend in Pine Ridge Reservation, South Dakota. And this friend of ours says, what do you do if you feel like God is calling you to preach his word?
Stand up and do it.
Amen.
That's right. I was, when I first heard his voice of instruction, I was 7.
Wow.
And I didn't really know what he was telling me, but he planted that seed in me. Well, then when I become a youth, I would listen to different ministers on the TV and go to church, and you know, they tell you to go to the altar and pray through, and I would go, but nothing happened. And it wasn't exactly the way I was understanding. But when redemption come, then that call of God in ministry become to be a reality in me. And understand, I was married into a family that didn't think women could do that. There's a lot of teachings and preachings in today's world that say women don't have any authority to do that. And I struggled. And one day I went into the bathroom, and I got down by the bathtub, as about the only place in the house I could be by myself. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. I've got people telling me I'm not equipped, and I can't minister your word. I can't be a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist. I can't be any of this because I'm female. And he spoke to me. He said, there's neither male nor female in my kingdom. And they didn't call you. I did.
Wow.
So from that, I went to a fellowship. And the pastor there said, Sister Izetta, would you come and share your testimony with us? And at the time, my pastor's name was Pastor Miller. And I went up front, not even thinking about bringing the Word of God. And I started to testify, and I said, it isn't really my testimony. I want to bring you the testimony of the Lord. And it just started flowing out of me. I had no control over that. And God began to minister, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And I didn't know how to quote scripture. I was brand new. So if you're called in ministry, stand up and let the Lord speak through you. He said, open your mouth. He'll fill it.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. I would love it. I would be so honored if just right now you would lead us in an altar call. I'd like to close this show strong, and there's people out there who they want a love of God in their lives. Would you please lead them to Jesus?
I certainly will, and be honored, and count it all joy, and humbly, Lord God, we pray. Humbly, Lord God, we come into your mighty presence in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, you know those that are listening to this radio program, and you know their heart, and you know right where they are, God, and where they live. You know every weakness and every strong point in them. You know what they're facing, and I ask you, mighty God, Heavenly Father, that you would introduce your love, introduce your Son, introduce their Savior, introduce our Savior to them, God, and introduce them to your way, your truth. Introduce them, most of all, Lord, to your love. It is a love that surpasses all of our understanding. Go into their heart. Go into their spirit and touch them and give them life. Give them redemption, Lord, that is what you do. And let it be done today, God.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for sharing the Word of God with us and helping us to celebrate Resurrection Season.
Yes, and we should be going dancing up and down the neighborhood, telling everybody, God, Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. Well, just in case no one has told our friends today, Jesus does love you, and we do too. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
Come and save her. Let her believe it. Get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her. And never look back once the world forgave you.
She is silent. He's gay. Oh, no. got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.